It says, Gideon, the Lord your God is with you
we
all,
are going
a
to
mighty
spend some
warrior
time in
who will
together
save.
Now.
He will rejoice over you with gladness.
We are continuing
he will quiet
this
you
so
by
if
his
you
love.
Have a Bible, open
he
up
will
your
celebrate
Bible
over
Jude.
You with loud singing.
Jude is a short New Testament letter. It's found right before Revelation. It's the last little letter before the book of Revelation,
amen,
towards the
amen.
End of your Bible.
Morning,
and this series we've called Contend for the Faith.
If you're not
and
already,
what we've tried
together,
to say is that
God,
this is a time in our society when everything is really contentious.
Kind of
a lot of people are fighting in the wrong ways for the wrong reasons. And so we need to look to Scripture and say, well, what is actually worth fighting for? And how do we fight? And so we don't fight with the weapons of the world. We fight with faith and prayer and serving others in love. And we fight because Jesus loved us first. And so this is a spiritual battle we're engaged in, and Jude is continually shaping and reshaping our worldview on what it means to really struggle and contend for things that matter. This week, we're calling the sermon Waterless. So if you will turn to verses 5 through 16, we introduced the idea last week in verse 4 that there are false teachers that are twisting grace. They're saying that God's grace means it doesn't matter how you live, which is actually the opposite of what God's grace is for. God's grace comes to us to forgive us for our sins because God cares about our sins so much that he sins. And then Titus told us really clearly in the book of Titus that God's grace not only saves us, forgives us, but it then trains us to put away our old habits. It trains us to live in a new way, to love God and to love other people. This week we're going to get a lot of detail in verses 5 through 16 about what these false teachers look like. I grabbed hold of one image that he gives of a waterless cloud. If you're a farmer, if you're a gardener, and you see a cloud coming but it brings no rain, it's very dissatisfying, very frustrating. He says a false teacher is one who promises nourishment but does not deliver. And what I want to do before we look at the text is I want to frame this for you. We mentioned this before, but there are basically two stances you see from Jesus and from the apostles towards sinners and false teachers. And it can be kind of confusing for us. I encourage you to read through the Gospels and kind of see how this plays out with Jesus. But Jesus was always kind to those who were without spiritual water and needed a spiritual drink. He was always kind and gracious to those. But to those who were false teachers, he said, I can give you a spiritual drink. And then they lure people away from Jesus. He was very harsh. And so I just need to set that up because we're the kind of church that believes both in the kindness of Jesus. We always welcome people who are struggling and asking questions. But also we're a church that will hold standards of what is right and wrong. That's becoming more and more rare in our society. Oftentimes our society will tell you you have to pick one or the other, right? You either believe in biblical standards or you're kind. You can't do both. But the scripture brings both together and you see both lived out in life. So as we think about the concept of being waterless, I want you to think about, am I the kind of person that's promising life, that's promising water, but not delivering it, leading people away from Jesus? Or am I the kind of person that's desperately thirsty? Jesus is coming to me like he came to the woman at the well in John chapter 4 and he says, what you are giving yourself to is not going to satisfy you. Jesus, please, would you come to me, satisfy yourself in me. Remember that dual stance, right? Because the stance here is going to be harsh. It's going to be hard because he's focusing in on the false teachers who are leading people away from Jesus. This is in contrast to the kind stance of John chapter 4, where Jesus invites a cult member and a sexual sinner to find their satisfaction in Christ and Christ alone. So think about where you're at. Where am I? What do I need from Jesus? What am I being tempted by? We'll read verses 5 through 16. Starting verse 5. Now I want to remind you, although you once fully knew it, that Jesus, who saved a people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not stay within their position of authority, but left their proper dwelling, he has kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which likewise indulged in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural desire. They serve as an example by undergoing a punishment of eternal fire. Yet in like manner, these people also, relying on their dreams, defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme the glorious ones. But when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said the Lord would do it. But these people blaspheme all that they do not understand, and they are destroyed by all that they, like unreasoning animals, understand.
Real gingerly here. Y'all saw me earlier. I had an elbow brace on. I injured
in
my elbow.
And primarily, I think it's old age. They were
pray for my elbow, please.
And perished in Korah's rebellion. These are hidden reefs at your love. As they feast
on his arm
without fear.
I'll try to make no sense of themselves.
We are
waterless
continuing our
series
clouds,
in the letter
swept
of Jude.
Along by
so if you have a Bible, open up your Bible to Jude. If you have a device, flip to Jude.
Wild waves of the sea,
cast the last New Testament letter
shame,
before the book of Revelation. And we're calling this series Contend for the Faith.
It was also
and so
about
a contentious
Enoch,
world, a world where we're often fighting for the wrong things in the wrong way. We're challenged by Jude that some things really are worth fighting
all
for.
And
they are
all
to fight for the faith
of all their deeds
for all
of ungodliness
saints.
That they have committed
the truth
in such
is the good news
way.
Of Jesus Christ
of all
the
hearts
for us. He's taken our sins and gives us a life. Through a relationship of faith in Jesus, we now have the delight of
following
our
their own sinful desires.
Great
they
joy,
are loud
it's a great blessing.
Christ
it's God's grace to us. But we have to fight for it because constantly people
the parallel
begin and trying to
more detail
take over our congregation.
Peter
sounds
two.
Bizarre, but
second
that's
Peter
how it works.
Two.
People come in and say,
Peter
no,
takes
not
a
really
lot of
this.
The same
it's not really
Jesus,
said,
and then
it's,
he
adds to it. He gives yourself. It's,
more detail.
It's
he
not really trusting
ideas,
in Jesus by faith and then obeying him. No, it's obeying him first, and then he'll love you.
Or
it's not really obeying him at all. It doesn't matter what you do. There's all kinds of variations on this faith, twistings, perversions, elastic.
Also,
of grace.
On
we have to be on guard about that. We have to be devoted to Jesus there and what he says.
But as I said, there's basically
this week's going to be a longer text.
The stance of
we're calling the sermon this week waterless. Waterless. We're going to be
you
in
are not sure what
verse
you
5
or why you believe what you believe. If you're
and what I told you last week is he's going to kind of give a detailed explanation about these false teachers. The last week we just had a verse. Watch out for false teachers. This week we've got verses 5.
But if you're one that is leading
and
people
sometimes
away,
I've noticed this in my own life. When I'm countering someone who is kind of offering false doctrine, I sometimes will switch
into this mode where I just kind of
start dumping tons of scripture.
And there's an interesting structure that Jude has here. I'm going to kind of give you the structure.
I don't know if you ever do that.
And
that's something I do. I feel like that's what Jude is doing here. Jude is going
to
basically give us
says,
two sermon outlines. We're going to try to cover two Jude sermons in
but
one
first
of my
all,
sermons.
The structure.
Okay, so we're just going to
what
skim
we have
over
here
the top
in Jude verses 5
try to talk about
is
the big ideas
two
of what Jude
sermon outlines
is
that he's put back.
And I grabbed one of his
and
images.
Followed the same
one of his
structure.
Main images is
so
waterless.
Verses 5
that
through 10,
false teachers
you've got three Old
offer
examples,
water to thirsty
and then
people,
you've got
but
a little connecting
water,
passage where he says
they are
these
waterless.
False teachers
and
are
so what I
want to
do before we look at Jude is I want to set up for you a distinction that I
then he has
more
example
in
the literature of the day
that Jesus and
the
apostles first
section, he talks about
very gracious to
struggling about the archangel Michael
always rebuking and that's really a hallmark of our church
so that real Testament example a little connection with the false teachers they're struggling with
but aren't sure about an example of what God requires
then in verses 11
we want to be kind
he does the exact same thing
the
real Testament example a little connection to the false teachers today
with the connection
to the literature they're
false literature to the literature
everybody was
yeah,
familiar with
follow me I'll show you the
and
way
and so what I want you to see in this dual structure is that the main idea
that as you
is
in
that
Bible,
false
you
teachers
that in the,
will be
in
judged
the Gospels, you'll see
that's
this
the scary
main
idea
sinners,
and he uses that little analogy of water
that's repeated throughout false
the Gospels
throughout the New
Testament
letters
offer nourishment
I'm going to start with an example connected to this waterless theme right
the false teachers are praying on thirsty people
and
saying
Jesus
I've got water for you and then giving them poison
because they want
Jesus Christ
to protect
says,
their
come
sheep.
To me
Jesus
I will give you living water so you'll never thirst
sheep
again
them.
So they want to
protect
clearly
he talks about that in John chapter 4
so
and John
three main
chapter
points
7.
That I want to pull
John
out
chapter
a
four,
lot more
a beautiful
than
example because in John
three
chapter 4
points.
He's
number
talking
one, gentle
to a woman who
Jesus
is a member of
will
a cult
destroy
and she is of mixed race which at that time for the Jews was a big no-no
gentle
and
kind
she was also
involved
in deep
and he will judge evil once
what was Jesus' stance towards this woman at the well.
The second point is that sexual immorality is a slow poison.
A stance of kindness.
Just because it seems like a great idea up front, you don't get struck by a lightning bolt when you begin to engage in sexual immorality.
And understanding.
The New Testament continually
warns us. He didn't hesitate to challenge her sexual sin. He didn't hesitate to challenge that she was actually worshiping
her sin. False teachers are selfishly
instead of worshiping God.
False teachers are selfishly destructive. We talked about this last week. There are other New Testament texts we can go to and we can say, analyze the teaching.
And so I just want to reiterate, that's always going to be our stance at this church. We will always be a church that offers dignity to strugglers.
We want to continue to equip you with the
kindness to those who are falling into sin.
What's true and what's not
true. That will always be our stance.
Jude here is saying,
but we're turning a corner today to a harsh stance.
And
where
false
Jude,
teachers are always going to be
following
selfish.
In the footsteps of Jesus, says,
be
but
destructive
those of, you
of those
that are luring these struggling people away
they are
to poison.
To okay, first point: gentle Jesus
and
will destroy
is coming
evil.
On you.
This is just kind of a
judgment
big idea from the whole
real.
Thing
God
from,
will not
from Jude's two sermon outlines. You know, part one and part
and
two, same structure.
People away
the big idea
from the true
is
water,
Jesus is going to destroy evil. We see
so
at the beginning and the end. Jude, take the bookends of this section. If you start with
now, I want to remind you.
We see here he
once fully knew it that Jesus, who saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those
who
did not
saved
believe.
A people out of the land of
and the
Egypt,
angels who
right?
did not
he's
stay
gentle,
within their
kind,
own position of authority but left their proper dwelling,
people.
He has kept
that
in
Jesus
eternal
who saved
chains
people
under
out of
gloomy
Egypt,
darkness until the judgment of the great day.
Those who did
just
not
as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding
and
cities, which likewise indulged in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural desire, serve as an example by undergoing a punishment
story,
of eternal fire.
Miraculously,
yet in like manner, these people also, relying on their dreams, defile the flesh,
and led
reject
them out of
authority,
slavery.
And blaspheme
and
the glorious
they said,
ones.
We don't want to follow
but when the archangel
you,
Michael, contending with the
slavery.
Devil, was disputing about the body of Moses,
to the old
he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said,
and so
the
he
Lord
said,
rebuke
okay,
you.
Your will be
but
done.
These people blaspheme all that they do not understand, and they are destroyed by all that they like. Unreasoning animals understand instinctively. Woe to them, for they walked in the way of Cain and abandoned themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's error and perished in Korah's rebellion. These are hidden reefs at your love feast, as they feast with
you
without fear. Shepherds feeding themselves, waterless clouds, swept along by winds, fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead, uprooted. Wild waves of the sea
now,
casting up
little
the foam
textual
of their
difference,
own
for those
shame,
of you that notice these little
wandering
differences,
stars,
some of our translations, some of our texts,
utter darkness
Jesus
has been reserved forever.
You notice that in this phrase?
It was also about these that Enoch,
the
seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his
what
holy
I want to
ones
for
to execute judgment
to
on
four,
all,
four,
to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way.
There might be a small little variance between the thousands
and of all the harsh things,
of Greek
excuse me,
that we have of
these
Bible,
grumblers
so reliable
are grumblers, malcontents,
these
following
the kinds
their
of
own
sinful
desires.
Right?
They are loud-mouthed
the
boasters,
Lord,
showing favoritism
yes.
to gain
it's
advantage.
Both.
And I'm going
to
read
and
one
so
more
I
verse, verse 17. We're not
you,
really going to focus on until next week,
say,
but it ties
well,
in.
It might say and,
but you must remember, beloved, the
predictions
of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. I said to you in the last time there will be scoffers following
their own ungodly passions. That's another kind of side assault we have on the scriptures.
He said this was predicted already by the apostles. False teachers are going to come in.
We know what the
they're going to come in and try to pull us away to other truths.
The
they're
problem.
Going to come and prey on our natural hunger, our thirstiness, our longing,
no
our neediness, and they're going
to
say,
more
I've got the answer
for
you, and then they're going to draw them away from Jesus,
more copies,
to
more ancient copies, more reliable copies,
sins,
more agreeing copies,
to religious
any other
solutions
instead
of the great
any other religion.
And so,
so verse 5 says,
Jesus,
the Lord is going to destroy evil. And then skip all the way down to our section, bookending it down to verse 14. It's also said that about these that Enoch, seventh
so
Adam, prophesied,
really the
saying,
main application
behold, the Lord comes
for this
with 10,000
one, don't be a false teacher, right?
Judgment.
Don't lure people away from Jesus.
All
what people
of the ungodly for their deeds.
Number two,
ungodly.
Don't tolerate false teachers. We got into this last week some.
Ungodly way. And of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners spoke,
tolerate false
repetition there. He wants you
to yourself on
to get that, right?
And usually in the New Testament, it's talking about doctrine. Yes, there are wrong doctrines that you should not tolerate.
Clarity.
Here, Jude is zeroing in on behavior.
See this image of
he's saying
Revelation.
The doctrinal test is fine. We want to be, you know, we want to maintain that. We want to care about doctrine. But the morality test is important. Don't tolerate a teacher.
sword of destruction.
He's saying the right thing.
It's very clear that the same Jesus who is kind, gracious, forgiving,
the other direction. So I said he has two sermons. I'll just kind of outline his structure, and then I'll give you the 3 points that I'm going to focus on, kind of the three main points I wanted to zero in on this morning.
Well, his structure is basically verses 5 through 10, and
he gives three Old Testament examples.
The question for us is, what is our posture
towards false
judgment?
Teachers or on sin?
There are really
in general,
two postures we can
then
have.
He talks about how this
one is
ties
say,
in with God, the false leaders,
you,
false teachers of their day.
And we endure
and
the judgment of God giving us over to ourselves
from the literature of their day.
So
a couple of things that are really weird about this passage in Jude
or
is he quotes two non-biblical texts. So one is Enoch and one is the Assumption
place.
Of Moses.
That's what the cross is.
And these are just
the
kind of like
Jesus taking your place.
The literature of the day. You know, these are just books
that
people would have read.
God of
were
the
good
universe
Jews.
Says,
they
I'm going to wipe out
some
evil.
Religious
someday I'm
love God
it.
Kind
there
of
will be
content
no more
on
wickedness.
Them. But they weren't
no more
counted
abuse,
as scripture,
no more
right? So that's
no
confusing for us. Like,
you will not be
doesn't make sense. He's quoting
again, it's all going to stop
literature.
One day.
Does that mean it should be in the Bible? Well, no.
Also,
Paul quotes a bunch of Greek poets as well, and we don't put that in the Bible either. So it's doing right. What a lot of preachers still do today, and preachers that day would do. They say, hey, nature, or hey, look at the literature you've already read. Something also backs up this biblical.
He's also more justified.
So that's the basic structure we see in verses 5 through 10. We see the exact same structure in verses 11 through 16. He does the same thing all over again.
So
he gives three Old Testament examples. He gives a little summary of how this ties in with these false teachers. And then he gives a literature of the day. Okay, does that make sense?
Basically, a three-point
sermon, a little application, and a little literary.
He does
that twice. Now, because he does, he covers so much ground, there's no way to cover this.
I really decided to follow these. Where they
mentioned to the folks who helped me with my sermon prep. I've got it down to about 90 minutes now. I'm hoping to squeeze it down shorter than that. So I just decided I'm just going to skim over some main ideas. So here are the three main ideas.
You forgot to
listen. Number one,
stop evil,
gentle Jesus.
But there was also a real visceral reaction people would have because they could see it.
Gentle Jesus.
Right? Just think about disease in your life. You want it destroyed. You want it gone in your life.
Number two,
think about
sexual immorality.
Dirty things. You want to clean those out. You want to get rid of them. So this was their
sexual immorality is
where they got rid of trash. And it smelled bad.
Number three, false teachers are selfishly destructive.
You know how it has that smell? You feel like even after you left,
so these are all warnings to us. Right? Morally in our own like lives, but they're
shoes.
Also
ugh,
helping us zero
well,
in
that's
on what a false
was.
Teacher is and what a false teacher does.
Add to that,
to
they didn't just bury their trash with
in
big tractors
the trap
like we do today. They also burned it.
So there are always leaders who have a charismatic personality that might kind of lure us
burning.
Away to
so
a false
horrible stink
doctrine. So number one, gentle Jesus will destroy
smell of fire
evil.
And coal.
Don't believe those who say differently.
That's what it's like.
There's a lot of confusion about this. That's why last week I talked about actually knowing the law of God. The Old Testament and the New Testament go together.
So what do we do with this?
It is one book.
Jesus will destroy evil.
And granted, the Old Testament is rougher and harsher than the New Testament. We will grant that.
2 Thessalonians 1, 7
and 8. But it is the same book. It is the same God. It is God who judges evil and is a God who gives incredible
grace. Number one, I'd say don't be lulled into the non-enchanted
worldview. Don't fall off either side of the horse. Don't fall into the kind of judgmental religion
that says
it's not about grace, it's about judgment, and you've got
to
live a perfect life to get God to love you.
By God or the universe, right? We're all just kind of
people that are teaching that are lying because they're pretending that they're living a perfect life and they're not.
We have to follow our heart.
The other side, which is part of what Jude's talking about here, is falling off the side of grace, which means
we know
grace is so abundant and so rich that it doesn't matter what we do, and God doesn't care about sin at all.
We will
matter of fact, there's no such thing as sin, right? That's the journey that many people go on. He's saying, watch out for that.
So don't
as
get
well.
Lulled
Jesus
into that, like,
will destroy
Matrix, seen the Matrix
evil.
Movie. You know, the whole idea
throughout
is that
this whole section,
constructed.
Jude's two
just
sermons
you,
keeps coming back to this. So this is kind of a main idea for the whole thing, right? There's
a judgment
specifically on false teachers.
The other
but
side
on
of that
sin
is, though,
in
I'm
general.
Not calling you to live a life.
Verses
of
5 through 7, we have
fear,
the Exodus generation, then angels
shame.
In Sodom and Gomorrah.
I'm calling you to
verse 8, the false teachers fit that,
that
you know, fit that charge.
We've done
verse 9 through 10, the humility of the archangel
none
Michael. So we kind of see this pattern of there's judgment and humility, and this is
going to
keep on through this his little second sermon as well. In verses 11 through 16.
Jesus.
So,
often
gentle Jesus will destroy
evil.
It's very clear, verse 5, he says, I want to remind you, although you once fully knew it, that Jesus, who saved a people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. What is this telling us?
Let's say we can't handle
the idea
of judgment.
Jesus is the same God of the Old Testament that saved people out of Egypt.
Now,
just so you know, if you read the little notes in your Bibles, there are some translations that have Lord there. Some translations have Jesus. But just look back at verse 4. Verse 4, it's very clear to us that the Lord he's talking about is Jesus. Right? So he puts that together in verse 4 very clearly. So then we have some textual differences. A lot of people try to say that the Bible's unknowable and we can't figure out the truth because of these textual differences. These are the kinds of textual differences we have in the thousands and thousands of ancient manuscripts.
All right.
Things like this, where it changes the meaning not at all. Just in verse 4, he talked about the Lord Jesus, and here some scribes copy the Lord, some scribes copy Jesus.
Woo, the tape's in the house. Hi.
We've got the Word of God.
Yeah, so my name is Ruby again. I'm the office administrator here at Grace. We just want to welcome you this morning. Thank you for joining us. It's a cold morning.
Being able to trust in God's Word.
We just want to tell you why we gather, right? Why do we come together every Sunday? And that is to find purpose in Jesus. We believe that we do that in three ways.
And so it's saying
the first one is gathering, which we're doing right now.
Does.
It's awesome to see your faces.
But
you can do that online too. The second one is to serve. So we have plenty of opportunities to serve in a team. We'll tell you a little bit about another one with Hope Pregnancy. It's going
to
be really fun. But yeah, there's so many other ways to serve here from home. If you have any questions or want to get involved, you can send me an email at office@begrace.org. And I'll tell you more about the opportunity.
Sermon outline of
and the third,
a lot
the third way in which we can find it's okay, David. find a purpose in Jesus is to join a small group. So we have women's studies, we have men's group, family groups, marriage groups, meeting online and in person. But you can also grab a neighbor, grab two, three friends, gather any time that works for you, and share a couple, a little bit about your life, and pray for each other. That's also a great way to do that. Awesome.
If
none of this makes sense to you, you're probably new, so welcome. We want to get to know you better and also tell you about all these opportunities. Fill out a Connect card at begrace.org/connect, or under your seats you have those little blue cards. And we'll get in touch. And then the opportunity that I was telling you about, so it's with Hope Pregnancy Center. They help women dealing with unplanned pregnancies and past abortions. It's sensitive subject, so adults only can volunteer. But we do need both genders. So men and women, couples coming in, do need guidance. They want just words of affirmation, and they need that. So if you have a heart for that ministry and you want to volunteer, please sign up at begrace.org/hope-training. And this is on our website as well. So the men's breakfast is coming up. That's so exciting. I hear they have a blast when they come together. It happens here once a month. So this is going to take place Saturday, February 13th. So that's next Saturday at 7 a.m. They love waking up early. So meet in the back building, and it's going to be fun. If you have any questions, email jim@begrace.org.
Throw that out to you. That's what a lot of
awesome. Do we have any youth in the house?
Woo!
Yeah, the youth. Awesome. So today, in case no one knows, is the Super Bowl. Really exciting. And the youth are going to have a blast. Super Bowl party tonight at 5:15. So that's after the evening service. And they're going to be meeting in the patio. So we're using worship. It's going to be really fun. I hear there are only three things you have to do or be in order to attend. One is be a teenager. The second one is love pizza. And the third is love being a teenager while eating pizza. So if those three apply to you, please show up tonight. It's going to be really fun.
Because we have all this modern sewage, we have all these other ways of cleaning things, right? So it's a terrible, disgusting place. And Jesus said that's what life without
even
God is
like.
Even
if you strip away the ceremonial law, we still have a consistent morality.
And there's a lot of debate about what this means and what this is. One of my favorite responses to this is Tim Keller, who's a teacher. I really enjoy his stuff. He talks about how someone's challenging him and saying, you can't really believe in a literal fire of hell, right? Do you really believe in that? And Keller's response was like, oh, no, I don't think it's literal.
Yet in like manner, these people also relying on their
dreams. That's the biblical teaching. Defile. So whether you believe in literal fire or non-literal fire, the point is it's terrible. That's the point.
There's this whole
you don't want to be there. You don't want to be without God apart from the presence of God.
When we reject
authority, so what do we do with this? Number one, don't be lulled into the non-enchanted view of the world. We live in a secular age that teaches this is all there is.
Think what he's talking about.
There's no real judgment. There's no real moral framework.
Creatures or heavenly things.
We've all just evolved. Things just are. There's no God looking down and making moral judgments.
Strange thing he says,
the Bible speaks consistently to what we know intuitively.
Sure, God can do whatever he wants to, but we're always subjecting it to
his word. Is a moral judgment that is being made
whether to think
over
good
our lives.
Or bad
we
or what's
know
true, what's
intuitively.
Not true.
Even the most secular people still have
God's
a moral
word
framework.
Is the authority
still believe at some level
these
they should be good.
Rely
they should be loving. They
should
be
saying, hey, well, I had a dream.
Nobody lives
now
out
I know
that,
it's okay to
that
indulge
Nietzsche,
our sin instead of turning
that, you know, Friedrich
from
Nietzsche's
it, right?
idea of just do whatever you want because there are no morals. Nobody really lives that out.
Our sin. And then the final example is from the literature of the day. It was a little book called The Assumption of Moses.
So don't be lulled into that secular worldview that says there is no judgment,
there's
no moral framework, it doesn't matter.
They weren't a part of the Bible.
The Bible says it really does.
But they had biblical characters. And so
the other thing I would say is
confuses people because
don't see
the
Bible thinking that morality and judgment matters
that's
as
not
a
the
call
Bible itself,
to living
right?
in constant
Paul did this,
fear
he quoted Greek poets,
or constant
and here
shame.
Jude is quoting a couple
what
of books
it's calling
from
to us
that day.
Is an
one
awareness.
Here, the Assumption of Moses. There's another
just
one
like
at the
you
end
teach
of the story,
your children,
the Book of Enoch.
Be careful when you
some
cross
you may have
the street.
Heard of before. So these are just first century books that a lot of people would have been reading.
It's an awareness.
Stuff they were familiar with.
It's an alertness.
Just like I might quote a movie or a book and say, hey, this proves the same point
and that awareness,
I'm not
right,
saying that
should
movie
not
is
be an all-consuming
it, right?
fear
that sense?
Takes us over.
And so here we've got
it
Jude doing the
same
thing.
It should be an alertness and awareness.
He says, verse 9, when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment.
Yes, there's going to be a day where I'm going to judge and destroy all evil.
Basically what he's saying from this story, and
that's saying Jesus is inviting you to trust in him.
He's saying that Michael,
the
archangel, right? So like,
that's what the
he's got the greatest authority next to
Jesus upon himself.
Still doesn't
that
even
the wrath of God
rebuke
was out
the devil
on
based
Christ.
On his own authority. But he says, may the
no
Lord
other religion has a God who both is equally
is
serious about judgment
of the kind of humility
and equally serious
that we
about
should
pursuing
have
you in
and
love.
Real teachers of the
only
word of God should
puts
have
those things
rather than
together.
Investing our authority in ourselves. Hey, look at who I am.
The
they're pointing
okay, second point.
To the Lord.
Sexual
okay.
immorality is a slow
so
poison.
Here we see from this
sexual immorality is a slow poison.
Century, Michael,
this is countercultural. Nobody in our culture believes this right now. As a matter of fact,
verse 10,
in our culture, we've come to believe that our sexual desires
are
who we are.
By all that they, like
which,
unreasoning
if you think about it, and you compare that stance, like all cultures
so
of all time,
let me just zero in on
is
that last
bizarre.
Here.
That's a pretty
before,
bizarre
sexual
statement.
Immorality
I love
is a slow
chips,
poison.
But I wouldn't
we
dream of making that my identity.
Unreasoning
right?
animals.
I
human
love
beings
I love
are
salt.
Different than
I love
animals.
Bacon.
Our culture today,
pretty much
teach
anything
you that
that's salty, I love.
We are out of control.
Something about that. I think my blood is too thin. I need like
the scripture
to, you know,
teaches
the viscosity, extra
that
salt.
You can control your urges.
I love it. I love
do you
it. I love
God's
it. That's
supernatural
not my
help?
Identity, right?
Yes.
And I'm even aware that too much
yes.
of it.
Yes. Do you need accountability? Yes. Maybe you need therapy? Yes. Like we need
that's
a lot
of
help. But we're not
everything
animals.
Everything fits that framework. There,
you hear
there
that?
Are things we can love that we're like, oh,
this is so
maybe I shouldn't love that so much.
Tonight.
Maybe I shouldn't love that at all.
We can make moral
that,
choices.
That shouldn't cause us to live
so
in complete shame.
So this brings us back to what is the biblical
that
sexual
that shouldn't cause
ethic?
Us to beat
is
ourselves
it.
Up.
Either be
it just
celibate
is what it is.
Or be committed.
And the Bible invites us to
life,
a more realistic
long, heterosexual
framework
marriage.
Of understanding that sexual immorality
very narrow.
Really can
when
destroy
Jesus
us even though we don't see it
about
immediately.
These things, they were like,
just because you don't
man, Jesus,
see the
you
results of something immediately
like,
doesn't
well,
mean it's not still poisonous. It's
it is
not
narrow.
Still
it is
dangerous.
Strict. It is hard.
Verse 5 says, I want to remind you, although you once
God's
fully knew it, that Jesus
we're not
saved
animals.
The people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed
so
those who did not
is,
believe.
That's probably the most
so that was
his
first illustration. Remember,
today,
I told
right?
you there's going to be three illustrations
that
or examples
the Bible
from the
calls
Old Testament.
Us to a
so his three-point
ethic,
sermon here. So you got the destruction of the rebels in the wilderness after the Exodus. Verse 6 is the second example. The angels who did not stay within their own position of authority but left their proper dwelling, he is kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day.
Think about God's summary. Or
most people actually think this is a reference to a strange little verse
everything else
in Genesis chapter 6. If you remember this verse about the Nephilim,
I also
want to where the sons of God
kindly
came into the daughters of men.
That are caught,
and
that
so
are
this is a debated thing, there just to clarify for you. This is either about just the general fall of angels, or it's specifically about that. A lot of commentators think, because of other literature, that this is actually about that. And then it was the, we would say, possession of fallen angels, possessing men. There was intermarrying. You had a race of giants.
Romans 1 and
2,
Paul does a really,
we don't totally understand it, but it does kind of help make sense to some of these ancient mythology stories of great heroes.
In Romans chapter 1, I encourage you to go back and read this. In Romans chapter 1, Paul condemns sexual immorality and the other ways in which we sin in very open.
So that's another
ways,
Old Testament
right?
example.
The way that
verse 7,
people
and then just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which likewise
really
indulged in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural desire, serve as an example by
sin.
Undergoing a punishment of eternal fire.
But then he turns.
It's interesting, a lot of debate about Sodom and Gomorrah as well.
People
try to argue, well, it wasn't really sexual immorality, it was rape, right? That was a part of the story. And then you've got prophecies in the Old Testament as well that convict Sodom and Gomorrah of like selfishness and abusing the poor and other things. I would say it all goes together, right? There's this whole pot of sin, people that are involved in sin and excusing sin. One sin tends to lead to the other. Not all the time, but for Sodom and Gomorrah, it was all celebrated, and they were guilty of all of it. But here he's pointing out specifically the sexual immorality.
So we need to have a sense of balance when we talk about
coming back sexual immorality, because that's kind of the theme of
totally out of control.
He's talking about here.
And think sexual immorality is no big deal.
On
the other hand, we don't want
to
run to
sexual immorality, indulge in sexual immorality, and pursue a natural desire.
Better than you are. You know, we don't want to run to this kind of religious
undergoing a punishment of
judgmentalism that singles out.
That is a little clunky, the reading there. He's basically saying that temporary fire was an example of eternal fire. So I think the reading here in ESV is a little awkward, but what he's saying is basically
here's
the
GBC,
real literal fire
to
Sodom and Gomorrah is an example
it's
of the eternal fire
if you want to find
that's coming.
The leaders of Grace Bible
sin.
Church are grieved.
Look at verse
some
8.
People
now he's
feel
doing the little explanation, the kind of bridging, saying that this is what these false teachers are like.
In this
yet in like manner, these people also relying on their dreams defile the flesh.
We affirm
they reject authority
need God's grace,
and they blaspheme the glorious ones. So again,
all people universally
he's linking
need
these sins
God's
together.
Help, God's grace.
All of these are marks of false teachers, blaspheming
on,
glorious
says,
ones.
All
like,
humans struggle
speaking
with
ill
a variety
of spiritual
desires.
Beings that you have no place, no authority to speak ill of.
Following Jesus,
you know, have no
standing, regularly
you don't know what you're talking about. Rejecting authority, right?
The
said way back
desires.
In verse 4 that we looked at
that?
Last week. They reject our sovereign Lord, Jesus Christ.
Encourages us into,
and then the
and
defiling the flesh,
him,
again, that's the sexual immorality, being involved in sexual immorality.
About our desires
and then
say,
he says, these
good,
same false teachers
bad.
Are
this
doing all these same things.
This one's
again,
help
he doesn't
love God and love
give
neighbor.
Us a lot of details
this
of what their sermons were. He says, this is what their lifestyle looks like.
Following Jesus regularly entails resisting human desires.
No matter how great someone preaches, no matter how engaging their personality is as a leader,
our ultimate desire,
what does their lifestyle look
union
like?
With Christ.
Do they love people?
So we're a
do
community of people
live
that all
a
have
life
desires
of moderation
that we are trying
and obedience
to put away.
To God's law?
We all bring that to the
or
table.
Or are they using their teaching
Jesus,
and their power and their manipulative leadership
desire.
Skills
we believe
to make excuses
that it is dehumanizing
how they live.
To compel anyone to found his
when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body
preference.
Of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said, the
Jude
Lord
said,
rebuke you. This one's
like,
really kind of
like
strange
animals.
Here. He's saying, even
themselves.
The archangel
you
Michael
taught by false teachers,
was in a fight with the devil. And again, this is from the literature of their day.
So
this is an example from the literature of their day.
Who
even
are,
the greatest angel of all time said,
that's
the Lord rebuke
God
you.
Says, I've got more for you.
And what he's trying to set up here is
Jesus
this idea
you.
That
again, here,
even
here
the archangel
Jesus,
Michael, who has like greatest authority
well,
next to Jesus,
who
is best we can guess, right,
believe he was talking
still
to,
is deferring to the Lord's authority.
He was a cult member involved
in honoring the
and
Lord's
Jesus
authority.
Showed her dignity
do you see that kind of deferring and humility
the harshness
in the leadership that you
is
follow?
For those
this is
that
so
would
important.
Pull people like her away from
so
Jesus
important.
And say,
so he says, even Michael,
is your way
who
to free
had this great authority, still
that's not
was humble. The Lord
come
rebuked
to
him.
A
verse
Jesus
10,
who died
but these
for
people
you.
Blaspheme all they don't
follow
understand, and they're destroyed by all that they, like unreasoning animals,
you.
Understand instinctively.
Sexual.
This last phrase is another jab at sexual immorality.
So
here's
how
the
do,
way I would
how
say
how
this to you guys.
Out. First of all, recognize that this is a big deal in our culture. The culture
celibacy is possible. Our culture.
We're getting close to a time when it will be illegal for me to say some of these things.
Morality.
Right? That's
and a
on the table.
Faithfulness with
many people are saying
biblical sexual
it should be
is
illegal
not even possible
for me to say that sexual sin
because
is
we're
sin.
Animals.
But that is hate speech.
That's
on the table
teaches.
In our society right now.
The
so
Bible
recognize
teaches
that we have a society that's pushing
that
hard
we're actually morally
this.
Responsible.
And recognize also the kind of
that can
both
make decisions
sides of the horse
with
you
God's
can fall
help
off onto. One
with
side
the
of the horse
support of a loving
into,
community.
Hey,
right?
I keep
we
standards,
need help.
But I'm a jerk
some
about
of us
it. Right?
Struggle
that's
in some of these areas
of the
more than others. We need help. We
of,
desperately need
and
help.
The other side of the horse we can fall
but
off.
That we can
of
make
is,
these
we
good
We want to be kind. Therefore, let's
we can actually obey Jesus in the area of our sexuality.
We want to balance
the long statement
of
sexuality in our Constitution. I encourage you to read that. But I want to read a little section of it to you.
The kindness of Jesus
says the leaders of Grace Bible Church are grieved
with also the judgment
that some people feel less welcomed by churches than others.
This is destroying you, and you've got to
stop. Genuinely grieves us. It grieves us that there's a history of hypocritical religion that points out sexual sin is much greater than any other sin.
Not to judge the world.
That grieves us.
Because as believers, we are to judge ourselves, right?
But we affirm that all people need God's grace, regardless of
sexual
desires.
We can
all humans struggle with a variety of
lead
desires.
Them to something better.
Following Jesus regularly entails resisting human
this
desires.
Toughness that Jesus and
we are
Jude
a community seeking to submit our competing
to
desires to our ultimate
church,
desire.
Saying, oh, I've got something better than Jesus. They
Christ.
Come into the church founded on Jesus.
We
and
believe
say,
it's dehumanizing
hey, let's sin, and that's
to compel anyone
salvation.
To found his or her identity on sexual
that.
Desires.
Three ways I think we really struggle with sexual immorality in our culture. Again, I think the standard is either celibacy.
Go back to what Jude says.
Or lifelong
like unthinking animals. They're just following their instincts, right?
Three, so there's a million ways we can fall outside of that category,
but
right?
But the world today,
really
the good
One
news of sexual immorality as it's preached
in
the world today.
I want to appeal to you guys
to,
that
you
think
have
it
no
doesn't
choice.
Hurt
you
anybody
have to found your entire identity on your sexual
to your ability
desires.
To love people.
Why?
Your ability to love God.
There's really no explanation for it. Why? Because you feel it.
Literally enslaving the people in that industry. It is destructive.
And I would say
you need to
this
be
goes
realistic
for
and
everything that human beings struggle
with. How destructive
in
it
our
is.
Culture right now, it's just about sex. But it goes for every struggle that human beings have. Don't found your
Secondly,
identity on your struggle.
We've got the struggle of
Some
romance.
Of you may be struggling with honesty. Some of you may be struggling
weird,
with discipline. Some of you may be
kind of
struggling with
our culture
kindness.
Builds so much on romance.
We all struggle with different things. Don't make that your identity.
Say this is like following your feelings.
And don't say I've got to obey it because
the moment you don't feel in love with someone anymore, then you're not
Invite
in love.
Jesus
well, no, love is
into
decision.
Your life.
Love is something
Revelation 3 says he stands at the door
self
and not
sacrificial
if anyone open the door, he'll come
That's
in
what
and
love
eat
is biblically.
He'll come in and have fellowship with you. He'll
now,
come in to your life.
Side point. Those of you men that are
so
on
instead
a
of
deficit
taking
don't
the shame
romance,
that you feel
married,
with whatever you struggle
you
with and saying,
romance, okay?
I'm going
to
run as hard and as fast away from God as
wife.
I can.
That's
because he says
of
this
it.
Is wrong.
What I'm talking about is
and
our
I just
cultural
deny
cult
that
of
shame.
Romance that makes
so
it
I'm going to run away and say it's right.
Don't make it everything.
Instead of doing that,
you need to sprinkle some in your marriage?
Jesus
yes, you do, okay?
With the woman at the well, John chapter 4.
Finally, homosexuality.
Such kindness, such patience.
We're at a place in culture, again, that's really confused about this, that says, well, the two options are either we can endorse homosexuality as a good thing, or we can be jerks about it.
Some other background that I think is important. Read Romans 1 and 2.
Romans 1 and 2 is clear.
Romans 1 and 2
is clear. There are all kinds of sin.
That there are.
I appeal to you if you're struggling with homosexual temptation.
Irreligious sins, like sexual immorality, that's what I'm talking about right now. And then there are religious sins, like judgmentalism
and
backbiting.
You don't understand.
And
it's
Paul does this
me.
Beautiful thing.
I've got to give in to
it's
this
kind of like
temptation.
A rope-a-dope, right? He pulls in the religious people who are like,
temptation.
Yeah, Paul, talk about that sexual immorality.
No
it's terrible. And then in chapter 2, he turns on
man.
And he's like, you're just as bad.
Mangle this. No temptation has overtaken you. That
so
is
again,
not
as a church, we want to balance
God
this
is
posture
faithful.
Of kindness.
He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will
to be a follower of Jesus
way
to admit your struggle.
That you may be able
that
to
with
endure
actual
it.
Standards.
Therefore, my beloved, flee
we
from
We actually
idolatry.
Want to obey Jesus and do what he says.
Flee from
and it's
idolatry.
Hard for all of us. It's just hard
there?
In different ways.
Idolatry is connected
What's hard
to
for you may not be hard for me, but
the things
it's
we're
hard
lured
for all of
by
us.
Are the things that
we
think we
all struggle
are false
with something.
Saviors that will save us,
and we
right?
want to run to Jesus with our struggle instead of
my temptation
running away.
Is different. I'm lured
by before
this.
I move on,
I've got to give in to
I just want to point out three areas that we struggle, particularly in our culture. One is pornography. Get help. It's not just no big deal because there's no real people involved.
Here.
There are actual real people involved, but you're enslaving
slow poison
through your use of pornography.
To be refreshing water.
So get help.
But it will actually
it's a big deal.
Destroy you.
It's ruining you.
So This has mostly been about us running from sexual immorality. What I want you to see here is false teachers.
Guys stay stuck in pornography
because
they think it's no big deal.
And their power and their leadership
to manipulate
your ability to love real people, indulging their own flesh.
And you're also enslaving the people that are involved in that industry.
So again, you can look at a teacher and evaluate the truth. Are they teaching from the Bible? Are they lifting up Jesus? Those are all good markers.
Second one is the romantic
ideals. Have a good or a bad teacher, right? You want a good teacher that will rest his authority in the scripture.
Sometimes we indulge
we'll talk about Jesus.
Romance,
bad teacher won't do that.
Romantic themes,
but Jude says, in case you get confused, because false teachers are really good with their words.
That.
Right?
Follow your desire.
They're really good
your heart
at
kind of
doing
thinking.
Magic
guys,
and manipulating you and making you feel like
now,
they're teaching
who are
from
married,
the Bible
no
and feel like you're talking
you
about Jesus.
Unromantic
but if you see
marriage,
them
okay?
luring you or others towards sexual
God
immorality,
God wants you to bring
run,
a little more romance
flee,
and woo
get away.
Your spouse.
Do not trust them. Do not
but
allow
we don't
them
to fall off to the extreme
to
of this romantic worldview where we just follow our feelings and then everything
teachers.
Works out because
okay, last point.
Feelings are our actual savior and romantic
false
feelings
teachers
are
the
selfishly savior
in this destructive.
Culture.
And this
so that's another area of sexual immorality.
They can be manipulative, right?
And then finally, homosexuality. That's
Paul talks
that,
about this in Galatians.
Is becoming more
it's
and more
so
something we're not allowed to talk about.
For you as a follower.
It's just one
just
more kind
more
of immorality,
followers.
Just like every
right?
other immorality. We
so
don't need to single it out as any worse, but we also don't need
teacher.
To bow
to
culture that says,
city are
"Oh, because
go to
this is different." Because
other churches
we've hurt people in the past, we got to say now it's okay. Well, no.
For people,
God has a very clear sexual ethic.
Who love each
sexually,
other,
sexually, we're either called
to
celibacy
or, humble
or heterosexual, lifelong
they don't just
want to
be in charge.
Those are the two biblical
lead you
choices.
To Jesus. They want to serve
isn't that really
the
strict?
Gospel for
yes.
you. So this is the second little
that's
sermon
okay.
outline.
You'll be fine.
He follows the same
it's okay.
pattern here where he gives three
celibacy
Old Testament examples.
Is possible.
He talks
we're
about
not
false
animals,
teachers of the day.
Right?
And then he gives a final
and so that's
example
the biblical
illustration
sexual
from
ethic.
The literature of their day.
And I want to end with
he
this.
He says, woe to them, for they walk in the
no
way of
no temptation has overtaken you that is
and
not
and abandon themselves
man.
For the sake of gain to
I think
Balaam's
this is the biggest
error.
Struggle for those who struggle, particularly with homosexuality.
Balaam's error, abandon themselves for the sake of gain. So this is like, they're selfish. They saw an opportunity to like make more money or get more followers.
No, no
and so then they disobeyed, just like
you,
Balaam. This
is
a reference in Numbers.
We're all
this Old Testament false prophet, false
so
teacher.
I just want to push back
the same
on those
kind
who struggle
of thing. They're pursuing
with homosexuality
gain. They're pursuing
the
advantage, and so they mislead people so they can have more money, so they can have more stuff, so they can lead others astray.
As kindly as
Korah's rebellion is a really interesting story from the Old Testament.
To say you don't understand is a lie.
Korah believed in this truth.
Right? The Bible says
that
all struggle
people
is
of God
struggle,
are
and it's
all
valid. You're invalidating other
of
people's
equal
struggles.
Dignity and supposed to
you're saying my struggle is the kind that must be given
important people in the
to
kingdom
you.
Of God. We sometimes call
other
this the priesthood of all believers,
resisted.
Right? We all have a role in the ministry.
That's what the scripture says. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man.
So
God
true,
is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability.
And destroy the
with
current
the temptation,
leadership.
He'll also provide
we can't
the
have any leaders at all. If we have any
it.
Leaders at all, that
therefore,
means
my beloved,
there is no priesthood of all
idolatry.
Believers, right? So this is often what false teachers
why
do.
Why does he
they
tack
take
on the flee from idolatry?
And they
because giving into temptation
you see that?
Is worshiping a false god.
And so you
god.
Hear what they're saying, and
you're
like,
saying,
that
this
truth
will
is
save
in Scripture.
Me.
That thing they're
my
saying
new
is
sexual
true.
Identity
and
will
destroying
save
destroying
me.
Everything else in their path.
Giving into this
Korah
sin will save
is a great
me. That
example of that.
Money that I have to
verse
cut corners
says, these
for,
are
that will save me.
Reefs at your
it's
love
idolatry.
Feast.
You're worshiping
feast
a false
was
god.
Jesus first century language for either the potluck that went along with a communion meal or just the church gathering itself. So a love feast, right?
Giving
a
into
gathering
the sin is not going to give
love.
You rest.
That's how they would talk about that.
Oh, there will be rest for a little while. There will be short-term rest. There will be like, ah, I'm not fighting anymore. This is nice.
This is how they talked about getting together as a church.
Coast.
They said there's hidden reefs.
But there's not going
to
be long-term
events.
Rest.
What does that mean?
Jesus
so
invites you to
if you're in a boat
himself.
And you're going through the water,
sexual
it looks
morality,
like calm water.
Back
you can't see anything.
Theme.
There can be a
don't
sandbar or a reef
false teachers
under the surface
that
you don't
tell
see
you the way to peace is giving into
your ship. That's what he's saying.
And don't trust false teachers
in
that engage in sexual immorality.
Like Jesus talked about.
We want to continue to maintain these
as
what really are high standards. These were high standards in the first century as well. It's not like these
a
things were
always
easy
an
for
example
first century
of someone
people,
who goes
but now they're hard for us. So we need
for
to
the sake of
rules.
His flock.
They've always
he's
been hard for human beings to obey
he
Jesus. It's always been
dumb, humble sheep.
But Jesus
right, cares
will help
about
us.
Their
okay,
good,
last
more
point.
Than
false teachers
own,
are selfishly
these
destructive.
Leaders, these
they show favoritism to gain advantage. In other places, Paul talks about
of the
they really just want followers. They're not really interested in the followers. They
going
just
back
want
to
more
Jesus's
followers.
Language in
right?
Matthew 7. A wolf tearing
verse
up
16,
a leg of lamb.
They show favoritism
there, right?
to gain
I know,
advantage.
I'm sorry, it's gross. I'm purposefully trying to gross
example.
You out, right?
They follow Balaam for the
that's
sake of
what
gain.
Is
they're shepherds who
he's trying to give you images that if you were a first century
flock,
person that
right?
was more in touch with
instead of taking
animals
care of the flock,
are,
shepherds are always used as an analogy. Good shepherds
reaction,
is those who are like selfless
right?
and caring for these
feeding themselves.
Dumb animals
these like
and putting their needs before themselves. The false teachers just feed themselves. They're just worried about self. They're not really worried about the
image that
the
I've used for
so
the
here's
sermon
the second
title, waterless
sermon.
Clouds.
Woe to them. They walked in the way of Cain. First Old Testament
just
example.
A cloud
and abandoned themselves
like
for the sake of gain
Texas, right? Why?
To Balaam's error. That's the second
so
example
love
from Numbers.
Clouds. That's awesome.
And
we
then they perished
outside.
In Korah's rebellion.
Shade,
Korah,
no
that's
rain,
the third
good deal.
Example.
But if you
Korah
were a farmer
Old Testament
or a gardener, as most people were in the first century, and you saw
a
cloud
a truth,
that didn't
the
feed the ground
of all believers,
and help your crops to grow and
said, because all Israelites are holy,
so
we're going to rebel against
they
the current leadership
nourishment.
And tear them down.
They're selling nourishment.
That same idea keeps happening again and
right?
again.
Saying,
that's why as a church
water,
we try to teach both simultaneously.
You
there are actual leaderless
clouds swept
of a church,
along by winds.
And
fruitless
everyone in the church is called
in late
to
autumn.
Ministry. You're
there,
all called to lead in your sphere of influence. That is
no
true.
Twice
and there are actual leaders in the church.
Wild waves of the sea
both
casting
the
up the foam of their own shame.
Korah said, I'm just going to grab onto this one
stars,
truth
right?
and destroy
ancient
the leaders.
People would navigate by the
Korah's
stars and their
rebellion.
Fixed positions
Verse 12.
And their predictable patterns.
Now he's going to talk about how these
star,
guys
planet,
live it out
shooting
among
star
false teachers. These are hidden
been
reefs
much harder to navigate
at your love
by.
Feasts. What's That's a hidden what reef? Anybody ever
don't guide you,
been sailing a boat and you hit a sandbar or a reef? Anybody here?
The gloom of utter darkness has been reserved.
That can happen.
Yeah.
Forever. For real. That means so again, it's like this high point under the water. Judgment. You're cruising along in the water, and all of a sudden your boat hits something because it was hidden. You didn't know
something
it was there. They're sneaking in. At your love feast, as they feast with you without fear,
quotes, literature of their
shepherds
day,
feeding themselves.
So this is another
waterless
kind of literature of their day book, a weird
swept along
book
by winds. My wife and I struggled with the waterless clouds because in Texas, it's kind of nice to be outside and have a cloud that gives you shade, right?
Tim Keller, we're not putting the Bible
there. Usually sad if there's no rain.
Stories we read that are helpful,
unless you have a garden,
but not the same
right?
thing as Scripture. This
or
is
unless you're a farmer,
ancient,
which would have been most.
It was also about these that Enoch the
seventh
from Adam
right?
prophesied,
so because
saying,
we're
"Behold,
spoiled
the Lord comes
we're
with 10,000
separated from the growth cycle. We don't realize like how desperately people need clouds that bring water,
that
right,
read
to feed the ground.
And here in verse 16, he ends
these
with
are clouds
this,
that promise water that prompts
their
malcontents. There's no life.
They're following their own sinful desires.
Swept along by the winds,
they're
fruitless trees in late autumn. These are fruit trees that say, "Hey, I've got fruit," but then there's no fruit. There, they're twice dead and uprooted.
So one more application
they're wild
here.
Waves of the sea,
watch
casting up the foam of their own shame.
That show
they're wandering
so that they
stars.
Can
this is a word for planets.
A weird
you
way
can
that
mark
I guard against this in my
your,
own life. This is not something that every
navigation
should do.
By the regular stars. It's a lot harder
to
work with planets. Some people think
an
he's even
to
talking
not be
about
like
falling
this, right?
stars.
Is
the
I
idea
don't know what
is.
You give.
There are some stars
now, some
that bring
do,
order
and that's
and
fine.
Consistency
it's not a snare for
and
them.
Guidance.
For me personally,
and then some that
I'm
don't.
Afraid
right?
That I would
these
start
are these
about
wandering
much, right?
stars.
So I'd just
for
rather
whom the
not
gloom
know.
Of utter
I don't
darkness
know what
has
you
been
give.
Reserved.
I don't look at that stuff.
Forever.
We have bookkeepers and other elders.
And then
other
final
look at
section,
stuff.
He quotes
I don't
the Book
be
of Enoch, which again we would say just because he quotes it doesn't make it Bible. But there are some true things in it, right? Religious literature, just like we read religious literature today. I read C.S. Lewis, but please don't put C.S. Lewis in your Bible. Okay.
To apply that again,
C.S. Lewis is
not
biblical. Bible, but he says a lot of true things. Here, the Book of Enoch,
backwardsly here,
seven from Adam, prophesied. Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000
of
the holy
all.
Ones to execute
false teachers,
judgment on
show
all,
favor
and convict all the ungodly
so they can gain an advantage. So
of their
they can
ungodliness.
Themselves,
I'm going to skip down to verse 16.
So
they're grumblers, they're malcontents,
don't fall for
following their own
salvation
sinful
by
desires.
In a leader,
they're loud
right?
mouthed boasters.
These leaders
showing
have
favoritism
a dangerous
to gain
influence
advantage.
In that they are. Their charismatic personalities.
There's a habit of false
tell you
teachers
what you hear,
to show special favoritism,
manipulate
to give
you.
Favors to
Remember,
certain people
you are
so they
not
can get
saved
ahead.
By following a leader.
And this is
You're
one of the things, how
Jesus.
Do we guard against this at our own church?
So I've seen this
a couple things we do. This is not
years.
Like the only way to do it. This is just
there will be
habit
leaders
we have
in your life that
I don't know
you
how much you give
incredible,
because
like,
that protects my own heart.
Guilt
I just figure, you know, that's going to be a temptation for me.
If they're not
temptation
to
think,
Jesus.
Oh, this person's giving
and
us a lot of money.
Not
maybe
living
I should
a moral
do
life
say,
of following Jesus,
right? Or maybe we should
do not
shift
follow
the
them.
Church in more in line with
get
this person.
Say
we could kind
goodbye.
Of please them more. We could get more money.
If
we could build a bigger
ever
empire,
become a
right?
church.
So that's just a thing
we're
I do.
Platforming
I'm not
people
saying
that
it's
don't
wrong
Jesus,
for pastors to know what people give. I don't think it's wrong at all. That's just a personal thing I do to protect my own heart.
God destroy this church if that's
I'd rather not know. So I can treat everybody the same.
We want to be a church.
Not get caught up in that.
You
right?
want to be someone who
so that's something I do. The other thing we do is we have a plurality of leaders.
More of Jesus.
I answer
and less
to an elder
themselves.
Board. We have other pastors. We have teamwork
one
here.
One poor beggar showing
so
other
that
poor beggars
us from
where to find bread.
Letting
right?
our own
I'm not
personal
Jesus
kind
says.
Of private
no
limbs
leader
take over.
Should have that power.
So they're loud mouth
Look
boasters
churches,
showing favoritism
again,
to gain advantage.
We'll
I grabbed a picture here.
Look for churches that will help you to learn the truth.
Sheep,
but also where the leadership
and
is living.
I try to not use disgusting pictures too
so
much.
So as we conclude,
but we'll stop Jude here wants again. You
Remember,
to be disgusted. Right?
He says these are waterless
Jude
clouds.
Wants you to
these
be
are clouds
disgusted.
That
and in the first century, when Jesus talks in Matthew 7 about wolves
water,
and sheep's
and then
clothing,
they don't deliver.
That means something.
And there's a
to ancient people that lived more in touch with the land and their animals than we do.
Jesus,
they'd seen
the
destruction.
Apostles have a harshness
right?
with these kinds of
they'd
false teachers
their
because
flock
they're leading you away
murdered
from Jesus.
By these
I want to
wolves.
End by coming back one more time.
So how do we apply this? False teachers are selfishly destructive.
The poor woman at the well.
Number one, don't
thirst.
Fall for salvation
she
by
was
trusting
a part
leader.
Of the wrong race. She was a part
don't
of the
trust
wrong
the leader, trust Jesus.
She was trapped
find
in
leaders
addictive
that
cycles
help you
of sexual
see more
sin.
Of Jesus.
She was a part of a cult.
Does that make sense?
And Jesus
we talk about this a lot as a church in a transient town. When you go try to find another church, it doesn't have to be this denomination or this network.
He can give you
it doesn't have to be the same format.
Water.
It doesn't have to have a building
Jesus
that looks the same.
The one that
you want leaders
none of these
that use
other
the scriptures
none of these other leaders,
to show you
Jesus and Jesus alone.
To help you see
you
Jesus more clearly. How good Jesus
soul.
Is. How great Jesus
God,
is.
God, thank you that you are good to us in Christ. Thank you
the goal.
That you give
trust
us grace through
Jesus.
Your word. We pray
the flip side
that
of that is flee selfish leaders.
That loves you more and loves others
I've
more.
Seen this happen so often.
This
and
Jesus
this just blows my mind.